as normal. How you going, mate?
Yeah, good, mate. What's going on?
Yeah, not much. Just another full-on day of NBA. Didn't actually catch too much, but yeah, plenty of games to go over. And JT's back for second time this season. How are things, man?
Very well. Self?
Yeah, good. Good, good. Tonight we've got a bit of a focus on the entertainment division, the Atlantic division. So we've got a few questions.
The East from the East?
Yeah. Just, I mean, it wasn't a... It used to be like the rubbish division through the 2000s. It was... My division was the good one, the Central Division. But yeah, the Atlantic has sprung back into life, so it's good to see. So yeah, we've got a few questions for each team in that division. There's maybe a couple of teams aren't as entertaining as the others, but yeah, we'll go over them all and see what we've got to say. And we've got a Celtics fan here, so we're gonna start off with Boston. I'm just going to fire it to you, JT, being the Celtics fan. We'll get straight into it.
Yep.
Pretty broad question here. Has Kyrie actually improved this season?
I mean, case of numbers do or do not lie. I mean, how much better is he that he's not playing next to LeBron compared to what he's currently doing, you know, without their hired gun and Gordon Hayward as their prize signing? I think he's giving you probably what you would expect, but just maybe a touch more. But he's, you know, he's taken Jason Tatum under his wing, you know, as a, you know, nurturing him, going from being a number one pick in a draft, being at Cleveland, they suck, then they get LeBron. Yeah. That kind of jazz.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, so is it, sort of second part to my question there, is it more recognition this season that he's out of LeBron's shadow and he's sort of in the limelight now, whereas before he was either playing under LeBron on a good team or he was sort of the front runner in a really bad team? So now he's on a good team that's winning and he's been the main man and these other guys are supporting him. So is that more why he's getting the hype this season? What do you think, Aiden? Is he's actually playing better, or is it just he's in the light now, people are watching him more, focusing on him?
Yeah, I think now, you know, he's the guy and he's on a good team. If you look at his numbers, they're pretty much actually down across the board. You know, less points per game. He's shooting a lower percentage. But I think he's definitely playing with more leadership. He's putting in a lot more effort on defense. You know, he's coming up clutch in the fourth quarter. And like JT said, you know, taking the rookie under his wing and things like that. I mean, I think a lot of what's actually happening is probably more a testament to him playing under, you know, an actual good coach in Brad Stevens.
Playing to the system.
Yeah.
Yeah, so his clutch numbers are really, really good. And when you're playing really well in the clutch, it's... your reputation becomes more enhanced, I'd say. So you can have pretty, I mean, as you say, his numbers overall are down, but those clutch numbers are up. So, and his team winning in the way they did with Hayward going down in that first game.
I was literally about to just bring that point up of, like, you know, how do you rate Kyrie's overall performance of where he's at, where he's just, I've never enjoyed watching Kyrie even play basketball ever in my life as much as I do now.
Yeah, well, it's the same, yeah.
You know, it's like, he can do a lot of things that people said that he can't do because he was playing with LeBron. I mean, it's not specifically saying that it was because of LeBron, but it's just the way they play the game.
Yeah, yeah, and I think as well that his improvement is actually, he's with Hayward going down, Hayward was sort of the more experienced, even though he hadn't made it to the finals, but he was the more experienced all-around type player that the Celtics were looking to go to, rather, or even in tandem. Wise, yeah,
absolutely. Experience, like Kyrie's been to the finals and won one. Hayward yeah. hasn't.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a big Hayward fan myself. I mean, hopefully next year we'll get those two together and then we'll hopefully see greatness happen.
Well, there's talks of even coming back later on, but we'll yet to see that. So, man, it's been such a good start. I mean, Kyrie has taken those right shots at the right times and winning games. So.
And man. How about Jaylen Brown?
Yeah.
And that guy can play.
Yeah, and he sort of started off quite slow, and hey, he's still young. And man, what?
He had one of his friends pass away when they went down and played in Atlanta. They had to cop their way back into a game, and he flew down a day early to see one of his good friends that passed away.
Man, it's happened quite a bit lately. Jay Crowder is a bit of a reason why he hasn't played so well for the Cavs, is with the passing of his mum. Right before he started the season with the Cavs, so and then yeah, obviously IT in the playoffs system. Last season, yeah. So man,
sure. Heck,
yeah. Aiden, you've got a question on the Celtics. You want to fire away?
Yeah, yeah. So my question is, with how well the Celtics are playing, where do you guys rank Brad Stevens amongst the NBA coaches? Like, where do you sort of have him on the ladder?
Top five.
Yeah, he'd definitely be top five. I wouldn't. Pop is still number one.
Yeah.
It's going to take seasons of consistent winning for me to take down Pop.
Yeah, if you base it purely on the consistency level of Pop, no one will ever come close. But there are some better ones than Pop at the moment. I mean, he just got some kind of amazing system he's designed by Witchcraft, and they all become zombies, and he's become amazing and very unselfish.
I mean, that's watching that Bleacher Report Game of Zones a bit, but
literally.
Yeah, I mean, you can see the comparisons on that one. It's pretty cool. But yeah, I mean, you look at the roster they're throwing to, they're given now, and they're still winning games. I mean, they got beaten today, but I mean, who would have thought Rudy Gay, LaMarcus Aldridge, and Pau Gasol in the front court? You know, like, yeah, they just.
I don't know why they paid that much money for Pau.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and me and Aiden would discuss that one.
Yeah.
They're kind of destroying Rudy Gay and the way he can contribute to that team. The only way the Spurs get better is if Aldridge just grows a pair and plays at the center. Rudy Gay plays power forward, and Pau comes off the bench.
That would make sense, but yeah, Pop just—he finds a way, with those things. So for me, he's still number one in the coaching ranks.
And they don't even have Kawhi.
Yeah, and no Tony Parker either. But you know, he's getting on, but it's still a. Still a loss. Stevens. I don't know. He might even be in my top three. I mean, I'm SVG biased, but I'd have ranked Stevens above him.
And not just me being a homer for Celtics, but yeah, definitely top three.
Yeah, I mean, where have you got him, Aiden?
I've got him top five. I've got Pop number one for me as well. I've got Steve Kerr up there. Spo, Eric Spoelstra, I've got him, you know, near the top there.
Fizdale, maybe?
I need a little bit more out of him, but what he's done has been pretty amazing. I'm a big fan of Dave Yeager, but although the Kings have been awful this year. Quinn Snyder's a great, like, there's a Dauskas. Lot of really good coaches.
Dauskas. Remember that?
With Nick Stauskas?
Yeah. When they drafted Stauskas.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. yeah, but no, I've definitely got Stevens top five. I might have him three. I've got Pop, I've got Steve Kerr. Those are my top two. Van Gundy's in the discussion. Who's the
other
guy?
He's been to the finals with Orlando and Dwight.
Yep. I literally forgot the other guy I just said.
Vogel, how is he up there for you, Gorse?
Yeah. I like what he's done this year, and he was great in Indiana. I would have him. I don't think I'd have him top five. Rick Carlisle is the other guy I was trying to think of. I like even Carlisle. Though, again, Dallas has been awful this year, but you know, every other year he's found a way to make them compete, and you know, got the most out of old man Dirk.
So, I think Stevens is clearly in the front-running position for Coach of the Year so far. Ken,
right.
Just to add on to your question,
it's
there.
It's too early to say, but yeah, you could definitely stake a claim on it.
Yeah, he's my pick for the moment, easily.
Can anyone, who do you think could chase him down potentially for that title?
I mean, Steve Kerr is always going to be in that discussion. I thought if, like, the Lakers took off, Luke Walton would be in that discussion, but that's not looking like it's going to happen.
Yeah.
D'Antoni, yeah, maybe, again, no?
Yeah, maybe, yeah.
Possibly.
They just smoked Denver today. Brett Brown, if Philly does really well. Frank Vogel's in the discussion.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Lando would have to make the playoffs for that to happen.
But
I agree more so in terms of Brett Brown.
He's definitely got to be in the discussion.
Yeah.
I just like, we'll sort of talk about more when we talk about Philly, but I just like that they've stuck with him through this whole time, and now he's finally reaping the reward, you know, of all those losing seasons, so that's pretty cool.
And fun fact, that's pretty much what Boston hired Brad Stevens for as well, and then they're like, oh, hang on. This guy's actually really good.
Yeah. All these role players.
The best thing was Danny's heist with Brooklyn.
Yeah.
It was like daylight robbery. No one even saw it.
That was heads needed to roll after that trade. They did eventually, but not quick enough.
Yeah, so we'll segue into Brooklyn. Now I think we've covered all those few questions in Boston. So Brooklyn, first up, I've got who does Marks keep on their roster long term, and adding to that, for who they keep long term on that roster, who's their best player on the Nets? So I'll go to you, Aiden, on that first.
I mean, I think their best player's got to be D'Angelo for the moment. Although, if you look at like advanced stats, I think he actually makes them worse. I think GP was saying in the last pod. They're better with him off the floor than on.
Yeah, but I think if you know slightly down. I think their net rating.
Yeah. If you're looking up and down that roster, he's got to be the best player. If Jeremy Lin was healthy, I would actually pick him. I'm a little biased after he had such a great season for my Hornets. keeping long term. There's not a lot of studs on this roster. There's some decent sort of role players.
Potential to be a stud if he really kicks on is Caris LeVert.
Yeah, I was just about to mention him. I think he could be quite good, but I think for now he could be just a solid role player. He doesn't have star written on him yet, but it could happen. Another guy I really like, hasn't gotten a lot of minutes this year, but he's shown potential, is Jarrett Allen. The guy they got.
He's on a minutes restriction because he had that. Fracture, I think, at college before he came into camp.
I didn't know that. They got him in the Brook Lopez trade, didn't they?
I believe so.
Did they get that pick? Yeah.
Well, they gave the Lakers Kuzma in that trade.
Oh, that's...
Yes, that's correct.
That's looking like...
Sent Brook Lopez.
Yeah, for Mozgov and D'Angelo.
I tell you, someone who's trying to earn their star... by a status as old Rondae Hollis-Jefferson on that Nets team.
I quite like him as well. He's a sort of an anomaly of a player in that he's not big, but he plays like a big player. He's a good rebounder, good defensive player. and you know doesn't score.
Yeah, they play him sort of bigger in those lineups that they use. So him alongside
the centre. Almost Draymond-esque.
Yeah, a little, yeah.
Just without the terrible dissent that Draymond shows the referees that he should be tossed out of games for. Like, I actually, having played basketball for 17 years, watching for that long, the way that he gets away to talk to the refs is actually that shouldn't be taken or tolerated. It's disgusting. And anyone else on any other team any other day, like technical foul, or you just get
like a boogie. You didn't even have to say anything.
He's just using people in the face.
Gotten better. You've got to commend him. He actually has gotten better.
Yeah, still a bit of a bonehead at times, but he's definitely improved. I'm not even going to touch the Draymond Green thing because that's going to start a whole nother thing.
Yeah. We'll stick with this Brooklyn. So who do you see JT on that Brooklyn squad? Who would you build around? I mean, do you keep like some of it, like Whitehead or maybe even Dinwiddie? He's been serviceable for them. Kilpatrick's shown some good games here and there, pretty inconsistent, but do they keep a few of these wing guys to go along with D'Angelo and go from there?
I'd be keeping D'Angelo Russell, Rondo Hollis Jefferson. I'd actually keep DeMarcus.
He's expiring this season.
They just sort of go okay, like when they're given their chance through injury. Well, up until this season, not massive on either of them, but they can chip in here and there. I think they keep Trevor Booker.
Yeah, good vet. Yeah,
and you know, keep him around for that. Caris LeVert, absolutely. Alan Crabb, I mean, they've taken a gamble on it, and he's starting to get his groove on now.
It was interesting, they're coming back with their trade after making their offer from the year before, and then they get him back for that price, which a lot of people didn't like.
What
that trade.
$72 million.
Yeah, it's about $17 million a season, I think, off the top of my head.
Yeah, roughly.
Definitely keep Dinwiddie. I mean, he's actually set his game up to what people thought he was going to be 2 years ago. Jared Allen, absolutely. Probably keep Tyler Zeller. There's at least four roster spots here that you could look to move and chop or change or draft, whatever.
Yeah, I like Rondo Hollis-Jefferson. Definitely. I'd still like to see some improvement in that shot of his. I think he's definitely got the potential on the defensive side of things. Obviously D'Angelo. I mean, he was the prize in that trade. So he's the guy to look to build around. Maybe they could bring back Lynn if he'll probably pick up his option for next season, I'd say, and maybe they can get him back on a cheaper deal. But
I think he's he'll use his player option. Like, he'll opt in.
He'll opt in, yeah.
And the reason why is that if they can't play him enough, they can trade him. Will he be an expiring contract?
So he's got a player option for next season. So if he takes it up, he'll be expiring after that.
So he can be used. It's like, I'll activate it. If you want to trade me, he gets paid. Blah, blah.
He might have one decent contract left in him, I think. Just those injuries, they really sidelined him.
That's another
player option is what will pay him.
Yeah, 12 and a half, I think, roughly there. So he'll take that up. So what have you got to throw at us, the Adam or Brooklyn?
My question about Brooklyn is, what's a suitable time frame for Sean Marks to build not necessarily a title contender, but a respectable team that makes it to the playoffs and, you know, isn't constantly rebuilding Like, well, how many seasons before we can expect that?
Well, it's definitely not this season, and I don't think it'll be next season either. I think the year after would be reasonable, so I'll definitely give marks this season and next to still sort out these young pieces, what he wants to keep going forward.
I'd give him 3 more years.
3 more years, so there's 1 more extra year than what I'm sort of giving for. Yeah.
Because they'll finally get their pick back eventually.
Maybe they'll be...
I mean, that's not a slight on them, but that's just a fact.
Yeah, like, I mean, that's what Mark's had to work with, eh? I mean...
Yeah, well, exactly. It's like, how can you have a man set this orchestrate magnificence from here, and then you get to that point and say, oh, we'll just get someone else to take over?
Yeah, I mean, he had a rubbish team with no picks, so...
Yeah.
I mean, he's got a lot of credit so far of what he's done, so...
Yeah. And it's around the league.
Yeah, and so his GM skills are being put to the test, and he's really standing up. So I think, I think this off season, then maybe next, and if they can put in a good forward or another big guy there to go alongside D'Angelo, yeah, maybe they can go for a run while he's over, maybe at the top, the Cavs and the Raptors, and maybe some of these other teams will be falling down the. Down the ladder.
To be fair, though, it's not exactly he had the worst tutelage. You know, having spent most of the back end of his career at San Antonio
School of Pop.
Yeah, front office on the sideline on the court side. So, yeah, he got a bit of everything there: assistant coach and assistant GM. I think he was as well, wasn't he? Was that his official role there?
He was the GM of the G League team. I know that much.
Yeah.
And then I think he was assistant GM of the top team.
Yeah. Plus, he was definitely assistant coach for the year before that. So, man, good place to learn.
Yeah.
All right, Brooklyn there. So, on to next. Another resurgent team. The Neighbours, the New York Knicks. So they've been off to a good start. Porzingis is on fire. How can they improve the roster going forward for this season? What can they do? I mean, is it trades? Is it picking up a vet off the waiver wire? What can they do? Fire away, guys. Anyone can answer this one. Oh, no one likes
this. Okay. I think one thing, like I've been working on the trade machine and didn't really find something that suits. I think one area they really need to improve for now, until old Frankie Boy's ready, is get a better point guard than Jarrett Jack or Ramon Sessions. Like those two. Like, I've been a fan of Jack for a little while, but there's no way he should be a starting point guard on a potential playoff team. And Ramon Sessions is hot garbage.
Yeah, he had that one good season in Milwaukee, I think, wasn't it?
LA.
Yeah, Lakers, Lakers, he had a good season. And he's been garbage ever since. I'm a little more bitter on him after.
Maybe he went from Washington to LA, is that correct?
I remember he had a good season at in Milwaukee. He did.
He's actually had a couple of
flip-flops.
He's bounced around. Milwaukee is actually his best season, 2013-14, 16 points a game, 5 assists a game. That was Milwaukee and Charlotte, but that would have been the Bobcats.
Yes. Not the Hornets.
No. But I'm bitter with what he did to my team last year. He was awful.
So what can they do to... I mean, how are they going to get their upgrade in the point guard position?
I think they really should have jumped on the Eric Bledsoe bandwagon.
But what do they have to give up, though? Like,
the Bucks don't give much.
I mean, Kanter has actually given New York its identity back in terms of
that
brotherhood. Like, you see that Knicks fight coming back that you used to see in the 90s. That,
you know, Kane has been awesome for them this season.
He really has.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, as you say, I mean, he's bringing them back. It's good.
They could have beaten Milwaukee's offer easily. You know, you give them, give Phoenix Kyler Quinn, Doug McDermott, pick, boom.
Well, Dougie Buckett's actually been playing really well for the Knicks.
Yeah, I mean, you can find shooters off the bench a lot easier than a starting caliber point guard.
Yeah, but Bledsoe's been okay for Milwaukee. I wouldn't say he's set the house on fire, but he has been out for a little while. But having said that, I mean, it is what Milwaukee needs. It's just going to be next year they'll probably reap that benefit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, is Courtney Lee the guy that goes? I mean, he's on $11 million a season.
I mean, he is expendable and tradable at that price. But it's that, what are you going to get in return? What would you expect?
Courtney Lee's the kind of guy you got to move to a contending team rather than, like, a rebuilding team's not going to take a 3-year, $11 million a year for 3-year contract.
Is there another player that burned you?
No. I like Courtney Lee. I like him quite a lot. But I just, yeah, like, he's not the kind of player, like, the type of contract you can trade to a rebuilding team, considering it's still 3 years and $11.5 million a year type thing.
Indeed.
But looking at their roster, Courtney Lee's one of the most expendable. Lance Thomas is another guy, but I don't know what anyone would give up.
I think they would keep Thomas and Courtney Lee, just because Lee can turn into just a spot-up shooter.
Yeah. And then Kylo Quinn is another. I think he's got value. He's on a really good contract. He's actually played well, but he's blocking old Willie Hernan Gomez. So, no, he's probably...
Hernan Gomez is going to be unleashed pretty much from Christmas onwards.
Yeah.
I mean, So Noah is too valuable as a locker room kind of person, being a veteran, missed out on an MVP. You know, after D Rose went down, but $72 million, 4 years of that.
Yeah,
that's insane.
Like, I mean, they signed Tim Hardaway Jr. for the same amount of money, but you know what? He's actually playing a lot better than.
He's
when playing. He was at Atlanta, he didn't have as equal opportunity, so to speak, because, you know, Blazemore was in the mix too, but he's really stepped up and he's fighting through foot pain, and, you know, this is the team that traded him away and now they've brought him back.
Yeah, it was strange, that move, and bringing him back, that is, but it was the right guy to get, just the money was the question there. But hey, I think with Noah, like, when Phil Jackson signed him up, I mean, he obviously wasn't going to be that guy, defensive player of the year, can be that sort of facilitator in the post, even at the high post, compared to what he was doing in Chicago. So, I mean, Phil Jackson was just living in the past, really. I mean, he struck on Porzingis, but... yeah, these other signings are very questionable, and they've got to live with that for years now. I think that contract's untradeable. So, even though what Kent has done this season,
I've said this on a podcast of yours before, but I'll still never forget watching that draft when the Knicks took Porzingis and people in the crowd booed.
Yeah, that little kid was a sort of iconic sort of.
I just started. Not the kid, it's just like the New York fans, like, they booing the person they picked, and now they worship at a temple of the Poison God. It's like, it just amazes me.
That's the extremes of the Knicks.
Sports fandom.
It is what, like, I give them credit, they're so, like, blindly passionate and ignorant. You know, it's admirable in a way.
Yeah, I mean, they're sort of, they're one of those crowds where they know their basketball, you know, like,
yeah,
you know,
still for a cup of Joel.
Yeah, so yeah, it's quite strange, as you say, like, you know, fully on booing them, and then now they, yeah, they worship them, so it's gone full circle on them, and yeah, it's pretty crazy. So that's the Knicks.
You know what the worst part is? The worst part for the Knicks is that they let Kuzmingis go.
Yeah, and that was very strange.
You know, and it's because they had to activate Noah.
Yeah.
So why wouldn't you just fucking clear him out and keep the guy that you drafted?
Yeah, I mean,
and build that team on what you're already doing, like.
Or get rid of Ramon Sessions.
That too, yes. I actually tweeted and Facebooked about it. I was like, why are you cutting Kuzminskis and you're keeping Jarrett Jack and Ramon Sessions? Like, how about, yeah, just cut the dead wood with either of them and keep them? It just would have made more sense.
And going
into
it's
a good old roll Knicks.
Yeah, it is. And Frankie Nicotine, he's playing quite well. Frankie Smokes, as Simmons says. Was he actually the right pick? Was he the right pick for the squad? Was Phil Jackson actually onto something there? I mean, as you say, all this other dead wood on the point guards, I mean, he's shown he can pass, he can defend, he still needs to get his scoring right, but with Porzingis there and other guys taking up the offensive slack, maybe from Frankie, was he actually the right pick over Dennis Smith?
I think he was.
Yeah. I think Dennis Smith overall is probably going to be a better player, but I think old Frankie boy is a better fit in the Knicks team, and should be in the long run too. Like, he's already shown he's a very good defender for his age. He's only 19. The shooting will come. Like, yeah, good passer, good defender. You know, and defense isn't something you can really, like, defensive instinct isn't something you can really teach. You know, it's sort of a thing you either have or you don't. And what he's shown at the age of 19 is pretty impressive.
Yeah, and coming straight into the NBA.
The only difference is that makes Dennis Smith Jr. better is that he is on a team where he's the rookie, he's it. All he needs is better players to pass to who can score, whereas Frankie Smokes has to learn how to score himself now and become a threat. You know, you'd rather have the Dennis Smith Jr. Situation rather than Frankie Smokes, but I wouldn't exactly be too troubled by, oh, we just have to develop this guy's offense. He's already an amazing defender.
So in a way, he is the right fit. I mean, does Porzingis take off like he does this season with Dennis Smith there starting at point guard? I mean, like
taking shots away from him.
Yeah, or just, you know, wrong plays, whereas Frankie's, you know, given him up, a willing passer, you know. He'll go to Porzingis because, fuck, he's on fire, so.
But you know what's the best tangent of the New York Knicks situation? Is that they removed a cancer and they sent it to Loklahoma.
Was that one cancer that they removed, or two?
Yeah, Derrick Rose gone too.
Or even three. Phil Jackson as well.
Carmelo
Anthony.
But yeah, I mean, but you look at Rose. What, as soon as Rose went out of that Cavs lineup, I mean, they hammered my Pistons, and Rose is gone, and now the Cavs are back on track.
Yeah, but the Rose got traded.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean Carmelo did as. Yeah, I mean, basically he did, but yeah, getting. I mean, all they got to do is get rid of Nolan now, and they'll be four cancers gone.
Perhaps.
Bring back Charles Oakley. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think Dolan's going anywhere. He's too rich.
Yeah.
Rich people get what they want.
not enough fly spray in the world could stop it.
Yeah, so we're talking about cancers there. Well, this team isn't really cancerous. I mean, it's sort of the opposite. In Toronto, they're just ticking along. My question about Toronto, are they the same team as last season? No one's really talking about them, but they're getting the job done. Are they just that regular season, that team that fades away in the playoffs? Are they that same team again this season? Have they improved?
I think they're the same team they have been for the last 3 years.
So just that they're going to win 45 to 50 regular season games and fade out.
Yeah, they're going to be competitive in the East, but not, you know, they're not going to the finals or even the conference finals. They've got good pieces, but, you know, they need to find more time for Pascal Siakam, because he's, you know, he can get about as pesky on defense, but they don't really have too much depth, mainly due to the injury toll that they're under at the moment. You know, Norman Powell's out. Was it Delon Wright. He's out for a month with a shoulder dislocation.
Yeah, they use Van Vliet as their backup point guard at the moment. So, yeah, they've got all these young, interesting guys off the bench. Caboclo hasn't. I think they're not hardly playing him. I think he's 2 years away from 2 years from another 2 years away. They've got all these young guys. CJ Miles, I think, has been a good fit for them. But yeah, I think they're just this. It's going to be more of the same as well. Lowry just. His playoff runs have been just failures. Ibaka hasn't really. I mean, he's going to do a job. He's on his way down as well. Valanciunas, is his game just not the right style for this team, having DeRozan on that squad as well?
There's only one question when it comes to Ibaka. That's, how old are you really?
Well, I think I'm going to look this up, actually. His listed birth date is...
He's listed as 28 years old.
Man, he's not 28, eh?
No, I don't buy
it. But bearing in mind, Derek Favors is only 26.
Wow, is he? Seems to have been around... He must have been 19 or something when he came into the NBA.
He moved like an 80-year-old.
Yeah, moving like old man Dirk.
Yeah, like if you imagine him on like drugs, it'd be Greg Monroe. It's a little bit quicker, but you know.
Playing for D'Antoni, yeah. What do you think, Aiden, about the Raptors? Just flying under the radar there.
I think the story they're telling is going to be the same. I don't think they're good enough to take out Boston, or I still think Cleveland's actually a better overall team than them, despite their struggles. But I sort of looked into it a little bit, and funnily enough, they're actually the complete opposite of what they were last season. Their defense is down, and their offense is way up. They're fourth in the league in... Oh, I just lost it. Fourth in the league in offensive rating, and they are 13th in the league in defensive rating, in like points per game and points against per game, things like that. They're fourth in 3-pointers attempted, which is funny when you consider their top scorer doesn't shoot threes. All of that surprised me. Dwayne Casey's a defensive minded coach, but you know they're scoring a lot more this year, and they're not playing as much defense. So I thought that was quite funny, but I do agree that come playoff time, they'll get to the second round. They might get to the Eastern Conference finals, but that's only if someone goes down to injury in Cleveland or Boston. They're not a. It's the same story at the end of the year. It'll be the same story.
Yep. So, what question did you have for us there on the Raptors?
My question pertained to DeMar DeRozan in particular, and it was, is he actually good, like some people say he is, or is he overrated, like some people say he is?
I'm saying he's
a consistent three-point shot, so I would say he's overrated.
I'm not going to say he's overrated. I think
I agree.
I think he's rated as he should be. I mean, everyone knows he's not a three-point shooter, but that mid-range shot he's got is damn good. I mean, he's actually...
That bad shot got better. the shots are still very questionable, but they go in.
Yeah, exactly, man. I mean, if that's your shot, I'm always of the belief that if that's your shot, take it. I mean, if you shoot that at a high percentage, that's your shot. And this guy, I mean, if they're shooting a lot of threes, I mean, he doesn't necessarily need to be the guy to do it. I mean, he is shooting 32% this year, so, I mean, that's, you know, and it's not going to shock anyone, but it's
worst nightmare.
Yeah, he sort of is.
He's shooting a deep two-pointer. What are you saying?
He's not dunking in the paint or shooting 2 foot behind the three-point line, but,
Yeah, or passing an uncontested layup out to a three-point shot, then either gets missed or made, and then, you can just take him 2 points from a layup.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's rated exactly how he should be. I like him. I think he just gets a bit bloody whingy at times sometimes. DeRozan, he sort of, I don't know, he has that chip on his shoulder, but he, instead of really taking it on at the right time, I think that's the one thing he doesn't. It's sort of like Lowry, you know, like they can dominate these games during the regular season, but yeah, they get a bit pouty, and when it comes crunch time, you know, the sort of opposite of Kyrie gets it done, takes those shots, whereas Lowry and DeRozan maybe just get frustrated, don't have that in them to really take those games over, and that's maybe why some people don't rate him as much. But man, he's still a bloody good two guard, and he's probably still going to be an all-star this season, even though the East has improved. Yeah, so any more on the Raptors there?
I just wanted to say, funnily enough, when I thought of the question, I was leaning towards the overrated side of things, but I just looked up his stats. It's pretty crazy. He's shooting 52% on 2-point attempts, which for a shooting guard who shoots as many 2-pointers as he does, that's a really high clip.
Pretty top level.
Yeah, and yeah,
he's tough actually mid rangers.
Yeah, and he's actually shooting less 2-pointers this season and more 3-pointers. So he is trying to expand that game. His percentage still needs to come up for his threes, but it's getting there. And he's shooting nearly 50% overall from the floor, which is actually crazy considering he's a high volume back four player.
Yeah.
I mean,
he's decent.
Having a look at it, I changed my opinion on him almost instantly.
I mean,
like a fart in the wind.
Exactly.
I'll tell you all about influence here at On Point and the On Point podcast. He's and actually going to his stats now, I'm just having a look. His assist numbers have been the best of any season so far, and his rebounding is still decent as well, 4.5 boards a game. Steal a game. Turning it over the ball a bit more, which is probably due to their bit more of their pace going up, and getting their offense going faster with Dwayne Casey this season, which he said specifically they're going to change the offense going into summer league and that, so they're definitely changing it. So yeah, I think they'll just fade away as normal in the playoffs, but hey, you never know. PJ Tucker was a good signer for them last season. Maybe they'll get someone like that again that can come there and give them a boost. Right on to the one of the most talked about teams of the season so far, 76ers. Philly. My question is, trust the process. Yeah, the process is Yeah, I think in Embiid's Twitter, is it? I think he just has processing on his thing. So, man, can they make the second round of the playoffs? I mean, I think it's just about a guarantee they're going to make the playoffs now. No injuries, hopefully. But can they beat a team in the first round? One of those teams, Cavs, Celtics, Wizards, Raptors, maybe even the Bucks. Yeah, can they beat one of those teams, basically? JT, we'll go to you.
Well, I think they probably could, to be honest. I mean, East is pretty tight. 76ers are in 6th place and 10-7, tied with the Knicks. Cavs 11-7, Raptors 11-6, Pistons 11-6, and then lovely Celtics out there at 16-3. I could not see why the 76ers can't make the playoffs unless unfortunate incidents happen in terms of injuries. But I think they could make the second round. They could beat the Raptors.
Yeah, I think they can make the second round as well.
Pains me to say it, but I think that they could even beat your Detroit Pistons.
Oh, well, they definitely could. Yeah, they match up well against us, I think. I think they could definitely beat the Pistons. Don't know about the Cavs or the Celtics, but Washington, man, sometimes I don't know what their mindset as a team.
I don't think the Knicks would play the Wizards because they'll both be in the bottom half of the eight.
So the Wizards, you think? The Wizards won't top four?
I don't think so.
That's a big call.
It wouldn't surprise me if Philadelphia get it.
Into fourth spot?
Yeah. I think the Cavs get on a roll, move up to second, and then I think the Raptors get pushed down.
Yep, and then Philly sneaks into fourth.
And they push the Knicks to 6th or 7th with Washington.
So, Knicks to make the playoffs as well.
Yep.
So Cavs, Celtics, Raptors, Philly, Knicks. So, Bucks and Pistons, who you got out of them in there?
I would say I go with, just in no particular order, I go Celtics, Pistons, Raptors, Cavs, Knicks, Sixers, Wizards, and the Bucks. So the Pacers, Hornets, Heat, Magic.
Scrapping it out.
Hawks, they're not going to make the eight.
Yeah, so, depending on who they match up, man, if they get the top four, man, they've definitely got a shot to make it through the second round. If they could stay away from Boston and Cleveland, they've got a shot. Aiden, what are you sort of thinking there on Philly? How high can they go to really get a good advantage in the playoffs?
Yeah, I all they've got to do is avoid 7 and 8 because Boston and Cleveland are going to be 1 and 2, barring any huge injuries. Philly's the team that no one wants to play in the first round. I don't think they can get past Boston or Cleveland, like you guys said, but anyone else, they're going to give trouble to. Embiid, there's no team in the East with a player who can shut down Embiid. Like, he's going to go to town on them. Ben Simmons is going to go to town. There's no real elite rim protectors in the East, I don't think, unless I'm forgetting someone. Philly's a nightmare match.
Aaron Baines.
I do like Baines though. But no, Philly is the Memphis from a couple of seasons ago. They're the team that you don't expect them to get past the first round, but you don't want to meet them in the first round either.
The pre Chandler Parsons Grizzlies.
Yes, exactly.
Vince Carter Grizzlies. Sonny Allen Grizzlies.
Yeah, the grit and grind Grizzlies. I personally, I can't say, I think they're still not quite experienced enough, although Redick will help on that front. You know, the playoffs are a whole different beast to the regular season. But, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if they did make it past the first round. I don't think they will. If you, you know, gun to my head, will the Philly make it past the first round? I would lean towards no for now. But it's possible.
Yeah.
Need to put a little wager on it?
Live wagering here?
I'm always down.
My man.
What do you got?
So is that second round pass for JT? They're going to make the second round, Aiden? No. Is that the bet?
That's where I'm leaning, yeah.
I'll let you to decide on a figure for that one.
So what, say $40?
Yep, done.
Alright, Carl knows what $40 looks like.
Yeah, well, yeah, I had to give you $40 last season.
I know.
I'm not putting on the paces this season, that's for sure.
Well, you know what, I was equally optimistic about the Pacers chances last year, like in the preseason, they just unfortunately didn't eventuate, but oh well.
Yeah, I liked what they did, but wasn't to be. Philly, man, I think the anticipation of seeing these guys actually play over the last couple of years, the process, and now all of a sudden just bang, and Simmons is just controlling games with his physicality and his passing, his vision, and B just carrying on from what he was doing last season, bringing in Redick and Covington always being there, just playing that role. I mean, it's gone from, you know, just absolute shite to just a smack in your face this season. I mean, no one sort of picked it coming on. I think I had them, you know, oh, they might make scraping 500. They're going to be a young team, you know, they're learning.
That's what I had.
You know what the craziest thing is, though? Imagine if he had a reliable jump shot.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like, how do you not get a boner over that?
Yeah, we say the same thing as Giannis as well, you know, it's crazy.
That like, 3-point shot, his shot looks really like, I see Giannis take a jump shot, like mechanically, it just doesn't look right. Yeah. I mean, it doesn't help he's got hands the size of like a third world country or something like that. They're just massive, like bigger than dinner plate.
And yeah,
and
just
do that, and get your 45 and wrist back and snap through the shot, pop the elbow.
I mean, that's why he just stretches out and lays it up. I mean,
yeah,
may as well.
Yeah, yeah. So, what question you had about Philly, Aiden?
Embiid came out today, actually, or maybe yesterday, and said he thought he was the best defensive player in the league, and that he wants to win Defensive Player of the Year. So, my question was, can he win Defensive Player of the Year? And I mean, I don't think he's the best defensive player in the league, but where does he rank? Is he up there? Is he in that upper echelon?
He plays 65 to 70 games, more so on the 70 side, then he's definitely in the conversation, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, he's a presence in the paint. What's he? I mean, it comes down to numbers in a way. He's averaging 2 blocks a game, nearly a steal. I don't think he can win it. But man, he's got the promotion machine behind him. He can really make a good run for it. But he is one of the top defensive guys, defensive big men in the league. Man, and some of those blocks are just awesome, eh? I mean, he just swats them hard as well.
That one on Lillard today was fun. So nice.
Yeah, so,
I mean... How we talk shit to people, too. Like, he's a young guy in the league, and he just talks trash to whoever who's near him. It's amazing.
But he backs it up. Yeah, he backs it up. That's the... Yeah, man, like, so many cool things about Embiid.
It's like if Elijah won and Rasheed Wallace had a baby, you got Joel Embiid.
Man, that would be awesome.
That's actually pretty accurate. It's actually
almost disgustingly accurate.
Yeah, well, you know, she could shoot from outside. I mean, he could block. He could, you know, she could do pretty much a lot. Trash. Yeah. And then yeah, Olajuwon just, well, yeah, just.
That's so cool. And agility.
Yeah, I mean, shit, if he can just stay healthy, man, just stay healthy and be, because, man, he's been, what I love about this year is these stories, like, and the NBA's just producing more and more of it, like, these stories of these guys, where they've come from, and now what they're doing. I mean, there's Simmons is on their team, you know, like, Embiid's not even the most talked about guys, half the time it's more about Simmons. I mean, man, it's just really cool. I mean, how far the NBA's sort of come from. I mean, yeah, my team was winning actually when the league was a bit more boring, but man, it's just awesome to see.
11 years ago.
Yeah, about that.
12
years ago. Yeah. So, yeah, Embiid's just good. Good for the league. Good for Philly. Yeah.
Good for Twitter.
Awesome for Twitter. Yes. Yeah.
Unleash it.
Yeah, any more thoughts on Philly, JT? Any questions
on
that?
The question that I had for the both of you regarding Philadelphia's roster. So, you've got Okafor. You're not playing him. It's a guy that wants to play. Also a guy who can score, but it is outdated in the way the game's played now. He's also a terrible defender. Can't really shoot outside of 15, 16 feet. How do you trade him and better that roster in terms of what depth they have? Because they have, Ben Simmons, Bob Covington, Embiid, they've got TJ McConnell, they've got Cabarro, they got Rashawn Holmes.
They've got depth across the board, haven't they?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Even players like Bayless, Justin Anderson, you know.
JJ Redick, yeah. I mean, what do you get in a trade that's going to actually make that team better? When you look across the board of that Philadelphia roster and the way that they're playing, how do you trade Embiid to make that amazing?
Maybe a Patrick Patterson type player. Maybe a sort of bigger guy that can sort of slot between the 4 and the 5.
Amir Johnson.
Yeah. I don't know about
Amir Johnson.
Oh, I don't know. Would you play Amir Johnson at the 4 anymore these days? I mean, he can't really shoot from the outside.
It's not ideal, but I mean, he could play there on offense, but not on defense.
Yeah. I mean, they do. I mean, they've got across the board covered. I just think maybe another veteran big man. I think they've got, I mean, if they're playing Simmons as the point guard as well, I mean, Covington and Redick and that starting lineup's just been really good. I mean, they do have Saric as well, so, man, I mean, just get a good veteran. I mean, Okafor's owed $5 million for next season. The only place, I mean, where's he going to go? I mean, he's going to be a backup somewhere.
That's the main problem, is where is he actually going to go? You look across all these rosters, where can he go to actually help a team?
I mean, and the talk was Chicago. I mean, I think he's from Chicago.
But how does he make that team better?
Chicago? Well, he wouldn't. I don't know if he'd make any team better. I mean, that's...
You can't make them much worse.
The Bulls, yeah, well, that's true.
Do you aim low or do you aim high?
Yeah, well, I'll be aiming for the glory of the Bulls at the moment. I mean, it's just going to take someone to hey, let's take a shot on him. I mean, he's got one more year at $5 million. Let's take a shot on him. Put him in. Let's play him some minutes at backup. Maybe they've got a whole host of big guys that can't score in the paint, and they want someone. I can't really think of a team right there. Maybe the Nets or the Kings or one of those sort of teams.
He wouldn't go to the Kings. They got too much of a logjam there. They need to get rid of Postecoglou.
Yeah, but see, imagine like a Zebo trade to Philly. I mean, Zebo's been awful with the Kings so far.
What was to be expected? He's,
yeah, that's
so he's getting a bit long in the tooth.
Yeah, very long in the tooth. Yeah, I don't know, man. Like, I'm reaching here, but yeah,
it's a hard one to find a fit. I think it's got to be a team like who's, you know, sort of rebuilding and willing to give him some time, willing to give him a chance. You know, like they might strike gold and then they can sign him. Like a team I thought of was Atlanta, but they don't really have anything to give back, unless they want to send Elias over when they can, which is December 15th, I believe.
Back to or someone,
they'll someone definitely, up, they'll definitely yeah. move him. And then he'll give more time to John Collins. And
yeah, so like something like that. But I think it's got to be a rebuilding team. I don't think a contender would sign him if he was bought out. But I don't think a contender's going to move assets for him. But I think from Philly's perspective, they've got to, one way or the other, they've got to do the right thing and move him, because they don't want any negative press, and this is building up some negative press, you know, just the way they're sort of shutting him out and things like that, and like, you know, playing time's earned and that, but it's everything I've seen has been negative from Philly's point of view, rather than no one's talking trash on Okafor saying he's not putting in effort and this and that.
Yeah, agreed on that one. Yeah, so that pretty much wraps up our Atlantic Division talk. How good, and I'm going to just put this out there now, imagine in the All-Star lineup this year in the East, Simmons, LeBron, Giannis, Porzingis, and Embiid. What lineup do you throw from the West? Do you just do Golden State plus Karl Anthony Towns, or that's going to be awesome to watch. Oh yeah, it isn't, is it?
No, that's two captains.
That's the captains pick a squad.
That's right. Yeah. Oh so man,
that's gonna mix it up a bit.
Completely forgot.
It's basically Adam Silver's put the defibrillator on the All-Star weekend, and now we're going to get to see something awesome, and it probably will start to mean something again, like it was played up until the late 90s, where people actually gave a shit about the All-Star game.
See that little chat between Russ and KD today?
I heard about it. I have not seen it yet, but yeah, the night is still young.
It looked just like, you know, Russ got a clean steal on Durant. Russ was walking away. Durant follows him and starts talking shit. So I don't know. Like, I mean, it's cool to see things like that, as long as it doesn't, you know, doesn't just elevate. I like trash talk. It's healthy for the game.
It is.
Yeah, but I think it came off as a little bit of sour grapes from Durant. It's something I've talked to Carl about a few times. You know, he sort of needs to move on. Like, you know, he left, and no one's going to move on until he moves on. But he keeps, you know, bringing them up and doing things like this, and you know,
yeah, it's not like Russ is exactly a not, you know, instigating that shit too.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, but the thing with Russ is he's like that with every team he plays against. I'm not taking sides either. Like, yeah, they're, you know, they both respect them. I respect both of them as players. But, you know, Russ is, he's consistent in that he's an arsehole to every team he plays against.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll give you that as well. Yeah, I just thought it'd be cool, like that all-star lineup of all these young guys that can do a bit of everything, and it might not happen now, but yeah. Or just LeBron, Giannis, Porzingis, and Embiid on the same team would be awesome to see. So hopefully that team gets picked by whoever becomes the captain. Maybe it's LeBron and Curry. Probably might be the two guys.
How are they determining the two captains? Is it the top vote getter from each conference?
It's just LeBron and someone from the West. That's what's going to happen. Let's just set the record straight.
Just a random guy.
Lay down some rules, and these are the rules.
Yeah, it'll be LeBron and Curry. So LeBron's not going to pick any Warriors. Curry's not going to pick anyone from the
East. Well, no, it has to be from the Eastern Conference, does it not?
No. Like, they can. Basically, it's from my understanding is all the top vote getters get in, and then two captains draft teams. Like, you can pick from East or West.
10 West guys and 5.
Yeah.
Oh, 2 East guys or something like that.
Yeah. That was my understanding, is that there's no conferences in this game. It's essentially you pick your team, captains pick a team.
Yeah.
That's good.
So it'll be interesting. It's going to mix it up at least.
Today's win for the Thunder over the Warriors, and it was quite a good win. Is that the kickstart that they need to go on with the season, or is it that game that sort of triggers things for them?
Oh, I would hope so. It's a big win. Like, regardless, like it was a big win. They won by like 15 points or something.
Yeah, and they were winning by more. I think they were winning roughly by 20 in one stage. So, and it was a good win. I picked Golden State to win that one, but I mean, last year Golden State just dominated them. But
yeah, a bit more support for Russ these days.
Yeah,
I think Russ and Carmelo Anthony are majority of the reason why they suck. They can be so much better. Like, they showed today that they can play well, but they're so bad in the clutch. Last 5 minutes of games, I think they're possibly the worst team in the league.
Yeah, they were. Oh. And the funny thing is, the rest of those minutes are one of the best. Leading up to the clutch time, they're one of the best teams. So
I think Paul George is statistically one of the worst clutch players too, isn't he?
Yeah, well, he was going into the season. He was. I don't think he's hit. I don't think he's made a game tying or leading shot in the last 2 minutes of. He had like 40 shots. Something crazy. He had 14 shots or something, and he's missed them all. He's historically bad. Russ was historically very, very good last season. Being the only option, really. It's just funny to see how they faded away in second halves of games this season. It's sort of like the Timberwolves did last season. But yeah, I think it's the trigger that they needed to sort of kick things into gear and go on from here. So yes, very good win for them. Yeah, is there anything else tickles your fancy this week in the NBA? I think we've covered a bit.
I just want to say my Hornets got a big win over the Wiz today, so
overtime. I'm
happy. Yeah, they did. Overtime win.
Yeah, so I'm happy with that. Dwight's actually, he's been killing it. Like, he's been really good.
Yanni's going.
He even hit some free throws today, which is a bonus.
Yeah.
six of 10, so I'll take a 60% clip.
Drummond. So he like pisses 6 of 10, man.
He does now, yeah.
Yeah, even though he like missed like I think it was 9 in the game. But yeah, we won't talk about that one, but yeah.
I bet he's got more iron than DeAndre Jordan though.
Oh yeah. What's Jordan shooting this season?
He's improved. He's improved too. I wanna say he's above 50. Hang on, I'm gonna look it up right now.
More than Roberson?
Yeah, I think so. I think Roberson might be one of the worst, along with ESPN. So, along with Dwight. Dwight's at 40%. DeAndre's at 60%.
Well, I might keep this a regular thing. I might do Andre Drummond update of free throw percentage throughout the season. And I'm just going to look it up now. And he is shooting at 61.5%.
Yeah. And DeAndre's only a little behind, too.
So. Only a little.
Yeah, 60% for DeAndre.
Pretty good. Yep. Pretty good.
Yeah, poor Dwight's at 40. I would be surprised if anyone's below him.
Well, other than Marcus Smart's field goal percentage.
don't slander Marcus Smart, man.
I know he's a Boston guy, but it's all the other stuff that he does that keeps him in that lineup. Yeah. And it's what Brad Stevens loves. He's just like, you know what, the shot will go or it won't, but all the hustle and effort and that he puts in on defense.
I'm a big fan of Marcus Smart. I'm a big Beverly fan as well. Love those guys. You need one of those guys on your team.
You know what sucks for Patrick Beverly is that he has to basically go and have a knee operation. And I think we probably would have seen the best Patrick Beverly that we've been waiting to see. Been actually been healthy.
Yeah, and he had a good start to the season as well. And then, love what Beverly does. Still.
So when the Houston got rid of Patrick Beverly, I was just like, what in the heck are you doing? This is like the perfect point guard you could put next to James Harden. Oh,
exactly what I said. Yeah, he is.
But you know what? They got Chris Paul, so well, fucking who cares?
Yeah, and that's pretty much the reasoning behind that. So, yeah. Yeah, well, we'll end on that note. Thanks JT for joining us again. Sure to have you back on. Thanks again, Aiden.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no worries. Have a look at podcastsport.com's NBA prediction machine. Will be coming out soon, that we talked about last week. So yeah, keep an eye out for that. You can check us out on onpointball.com and at onpointaiden at onpointcarl. Over and out.
Peace.